On today's episode, we'll review some early spring training news and how to use spring training to evaluate players. We'll take a look at some ADP risers and fallers. Plus, we'll continue reviewing some important sabermetric stats. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball. I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. There have been a few recent spring signings. Now, these players could turn out to be impactful for their teams, so let's take a look. Jake Odorizzi signed with the Houston Astros after the team lost Framber Valdez to a fractured finger on his throwing hand. Valdez thinks he can avoid surgery and come back this season, but the Astros obviously are worried, so they scooped up Odorizzi as an insurance policy. Waiting paid off for him. Literally, he signed a two-year deal with a player option for a third year, which he'll most likely take. Odorizzi has made between 28 and 33 starts in all six of his full major league seasons. He's durable, and that's great, but he doesn't strike a ton of batters out. In nine seasons, he's only had a strikeout per nine rate of higher than eight three times. He's also very mediocre when it comes to ERA. He's not going to win you your leagues, but if you ride the right hot streak and stream him appropriately, he can be very valuable. Another Astros pitcher, prospect Forrest Whitley, looks like he'll need Tommy John surgery. He's a high strikeout pitcher in the minors, and he was projected to get some starts this year, but we'll have to wait until probably next summer to see him. And a few other quick injuries. Jared Kelenic is going to be out for a few weeks with a muscle strain in his knee. He is likely the heir apparent to left field, and the Diamondbacks also are going to be without outfielder Cole Calhoun. Both Kelenic and Calhoun are probably going to miss a few weeks at minimum. Calhoun might be out for a little bit longer with a meniscus tear in his knee. Back to the signings, the Brewers signed Jackie Bradley to a two-year deal. He's an incredibly streaky player, and that right away is going to limit his batting average a bit. I'd expect a 230, 240 average. That's kind of what he's done over his career. He'll likely take playing time from Avisail Garcia. So if you're hoping for a nice season from Garcia, then you're going to be disappointed this year. Lorenzo Cain has picked up a quad injury, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but that might factor into getting Garcia a little bit more time, at least early. But if Cain bounces back, then that outfield is pretty much set with Yelich, Bradley, and Cain. Now, as far as Jackie Bradley, he could be a decent player in Milwaukee. 15 to 20 home runs, 10 to 15 steals, that's not out of the question. He doesn't have the best hard contact or ground ball metrics, so he's not a player I'm targeting. But if you're in deep leagues, he could be a solid bench option. He could be a nice fourth or fifth outfielder for you, especially if you're in a league that's only National League. Danny Santana signed with the Boston Red Sox. He had a surprisingly good season in 2019. Batting .283 with 28 home runs and 21 steals, but those numbers were definitely buoyed by a .353 BABIP. The only way I can see him being valuable is if he takes over at bats from Franchy Cordero in left field or at designated hitter. If he doesn't get more than 200 at bats, he's not going to matter in fantasy. If you're in a deep AL-only type league, he could be a late add or even someone you get off waivers once you see how the playing time shakes out in Boston, but I would keep an eye on him at a bare minimum. We've got more spring training games going on, so let's look at some players who are off to some hot and not so hot starts and how these first few games might impact how we draft.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
One player I'm watching this spring is Jared Walsh of the Angels. He's off to a good start so far, and that's a good sign. I want to make sure that 2020 wasn't a fluke year for him. I like the Astros, young Astros outfielder Miles Straw is off to a good start. He's a nice sleeper option at outfield this season. He's already picked up a double, a triple, and a steal, and he's going to be a steals guy this season for the Astros. Matt Olson had a terrible 2020 for Oakland, but is seeing the ball well now, and that's a good sign. I like that Braves third baseman Austin Riley is doing well. This could be a true breakout year for him. Cubs second baseman Nico Hoerner looks amazing, and he might be earning himself the starting second base job in Chicago. And I also think it matters that Chris Bryant is off to a good start. He needs to show that he's healthy. He needs to show he's in good form, and I think he is. Dodgers second baseman Gavin Lux is really trying to prove me wrong. If he continues to hit the way he's hitting now through the rest of spring training, he's earning himself an everyday position. Seattle second baseman Ty France, he's another player using spring training to push for an everyday role. He looks great. He's an excellent sleeper candidate in drafts. And Seattle reporter Ryan Divish said he's the most likely candidate to get the DH job right now in Seattle. Washington has a few important players off to good starts. Trey Turner, Josh Bell, Kyle Schwarber, they all look very good. Victor Robles isn't really getting hits. He did hit a home run the other day, but what is impressive with him this spring is that he has 3 walks to 4 strikeouts. Obviously, that might have changed since recording this, but his walk-to-strikeout ratio is good, much better than before. He has a nice on-base percentage. He's picked up a couple of steals. And he's somebody that Nats are looking to move to leadoff. So he had been hitting in the back third of the order. They want him hitting in the front third in the order. That's going to very, very much increase his value. And it could potentially increase Trey Turner's value too. You know, it gives him an opportunity to pick up some more RBI. Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo is just obliterating the ball. His spring training certainly matters, and this is a good sign. If he continues to see the ball well, he's going to keep moving up my draft board. Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran is another player that's filling up the stat sheet and making a case for a spot on the major league roster. Some players are off to not so great starts, which don't necessarily worry me much right now. Some of them do, some of them don't. It'll be worrying if some of these cold starts continue. Somebody off to a slow start is Astros second baseman Jose Altuve. You know, he had a rough 2020. He's off to a rough start in spring training. If that persists, it's going to be a little bit worrying. Right now, I'm avoiding him in drafts. If he kind of starts to turn it around, then that might change my opinion of him. Brewers stars Keston Hira and Christian Yelich are not doing well early in spring training. Yelich just hit a home run on Tuesday, and that's a good sign. I'm not really worried about him. I think he is somebody that can right the ship. He's such a good batter. But I am worried a little bit about Hira. His splits don't look very good right now versus righties or lefties. And he's also moving to a new position. He's moving to first base, and that can sometimes mess with the player's head a little bit. So he's somebody I'm keeping an eye on. I think this is the year you have to totally fade Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals. He does not look good, and he hasn't looked good in a while. I would just not even bother with him. Dodgers infielder Max Muncy is traditionally a slow starter, but he had a sub 200 average in 2020, and this slow start in spring is making me wary of drafting him. And then Jose Ramirez is another slow starter, and he has not looked great either in limited at-bats in spring. For somebody who's getting drafted as like a top 20 or 30 player overall, a slow start is a little worrying here. Padres outfielder Tommy Pham looks dreadful in spring too. Granted, he's coming back from getting stabbed, but still, you know, he's not seeing the ball well. I'm moving him down my rankings. And last week I said White Sox outfielder Eloy Jimenez was on my do not draft list, and his slow start in spring training is just cementing that for me. I'm going to wait another week to start looking at how pitchers are trending, because Most have fewer than like 5 innings under their belts. So what I want to do is take a quick look at a few ADP risers and fallers to get an idea of where certain players are going in drafts and how spring training might be impacting where these players are getting drafted. So ADP is average draft position, and it's a great way to measure player value. You can tell if you're getting good value or bad value, if you're reaching in drafts and mock drafts or real drafts, by paying attention to the player ADP. So let's look at some guys who are moving up and down draft boards. Starting pitcher Aaron Civale has been shooting up draft boards to pick 228 in the last week. He revamped his delivery. He added a new pitch. And granted, yes, he's only thrown 3 innings, but he looks good so far. He's got 3 strikeouts, and it looks like the things that he's been doing in the offseason are working. 228, I think, is great value for him. Shohei Ohtani has also gone up in draft boards the last week. He's gone up in ADP, but I'm staying away from Ohtani, especially in weekly leagues where you can only play him either as a pitcher or as a batter. And he's limited in flexibility and positional flexibility offensively because he is a DH only. And that is going to take up your utility spot in most leagues. And you know, you might want to have some other players kind of slot in there. So he kind of complicates things a little bit for me. He also doesn't really play enough at either position for me to really be that valuable, especially since he's going at pick 130. He just doesn't do it for me. If he was an everyday player at one or the other position, I think he would be a lot more valuable. Also, he's a bit of an injury risk too. Jameson Taillon has moved up a couple spots in the last week, but he's only being drafted at pick 229. I think that's the right spot for him. He's not a strikeout guy. He's coming off a long injury layoff. He's probably going to get shut down at some point. He's going to have an innings limit this year. But he's looked good in spring training. He could be a nice add in deep leagues or, you know, at the back end of drafts or AL-only leagues. And then Gary Sanchez. He's off to a good start in spring. And so his draft position is rising. He's up to around pick 160 overall. I'm still staying away. I don't buy his spring training. He's too much of a strikeout risk for me. He's too much of a losing playing time risk for me. And especially at pick 160, it's just too high. One of the biggest fallers in ADP is Sean Manaea of Oakland, who hasn't made a spring training start yet. He's dropped to pick 240. I'm not sure why he hasn't played yet, but you know, he's not a strikeout guy. He's pretty average of a pitcher otherwise. He'll be a solid streamer, but shouldn't make most fantasy rosters. I think pick 240 is a little too high for him. There are a few players who have dropped in ADP that have to do with injuries. These are the ones that worry me. Lorenzo Cain has a quad injury. Denelson Lamet is coming back from an elbow injury, but it might still be there. And then JT Realmuto has a fractured thumb. So quad injuries are hard to come back from quickly, and they can, you know, keep recurring. So that worries me a little bit with Lorenzo Cain. Kind of watch him, watch how his spring goes. Does he make it back in time? They might hold him out for a little bit. He might start slow. So that's kind of something that I'm watching. Denelson Lamet, the elbow injury. So I think he had some work done this off season, and what worries me is that it's a bigger injury than he's letting on. And he's got a lot of hype. He's working his way up draft boards. He's dropping now because of the injury, but he's still high in ADP. So that worries me a little bit for where he's going. And then JT Realmuto, he's going as a top 60 player. And that kind of worries me a little bit too with the fractured thumb. We saw how Trey Turner in 2019 had some issues with power, and it really didn't come back until 2020. So you know, for a player, especially a catcher that's going that early, that's a little worrying to me. Kevin Gausman has dropped a couple spots in ADP, but at 184 overall, he's good value, especially after a turnaround year in 2020. I'm surprised to see Corey Kluber falling in drafts. He's pitched well in spring training. Now, an ADP of 160, I think, is a little too high for me. Maybe 180, something like that. But 160 is a little too high. Clint Frazier has also dropped a few spots in the last week or so. But he's really good value at pick 205. He should get time in that Yankees outfield. I'm going to take a quick break here, and afterwards I'm going to continue reviewing some important sabermetric stats that you can use to help identify players you want and don't want for your drafts and to help you make moves during the season. We'll get into that right after a word from my sponsor. Today we're going to go over what's commonly known as chase rate, as well as in the zone swing percentage, contact percent, and swinging strike percent, since these are all kind of interrelated stats. So first, let's go through some quick definitions. First, you're going to hear the term chase rate, which in FanGraphs you'll see as O swing percent. This is the percentage of player swings at pitches outside of the strike zone, or how much they chase pitches. Comparatively, O contact percent is the percentage a player makes on the percentage a player makes contact on pitches they swing at outside of the zone. So you also, in the same area on FanGraphs or wherever you know you get these sabermetric stats from, you should see other things like Z swing percent, Z contact percent. The Z part just means pitches in the zone. So what percentage does a player swing at them? What percentage does a player make contact with them? And lastly, you'll see contact percent, which is their overall contact percent, and swinging strike percent, which is how many times do they swing and miss. So these are pretty simple stats to break down. They're important to understanding a batter's discipline, right? So these are the batting discipline stats. I focus particularly on chase rate, O contact. Are they swinging at pitches outside of the zone? Are they getting fooled, or are they making contact on those pitches? Z swing and Z contact. So what's their contact like in the zone? And then I want to look at their overall contact, and also how much they have swinging strikeouts. Those six stats paint a really detailed picture of a batter's discipline. And I'll give you an example, okay? So some of the top players in terms of discipline, not chasing balls outside of the strike zone from 2020, are Kevin Biggio, Mike Trout, Max Muncy, Carlos Santana, Joey Votto, Aaron Hicks, Christian Yelich, Trent Grisham, and Anthony Rendon, and Juan Soto. So those are a lot of those guys, probably six or seven of those guys, are not surprising at all to see that they're some of the most disciplined hitters. They don't go chasing balls outside of the strike zone. But some of them on this list are a little surprising to see. Max Muncy, Aaron Hicks, you know, a youngster like Trent Grisham. So what I want to do is I want to look at somebody like Aaron Hicks, who isn't traditionally, I don't traditionally think of him as like a disciplined hitter. So let's look at his plate discipline numbers and see what we find. So we know he is good about not chasing balls out of the zone, right? He's got a low chase rate. But what else do we know? Well, he has an overall contact percent of about 73%, which is the second lowest out of all those players. He also has the second highest swinging strike rate. And that can be explained by a 55% contact rate on pitches outside of the zone. So he is swinging not that much. He's not swinging very much at pitches outside of the zone, but he's also not making much contact on those pitches, on the pitches that he does swing at outside of the zone. So on the surface, the chase rate is really good. It looks like he's not that really truly that disciplined of a hitter. On the other hand, you look at somebody like Anthony Rendon. His plate discipline numbers show why he is truly an elite hitter. He had a 20, this is all 2020 data, right? So he had a 20% chase rate. He made contact on 70% of the balls out of the strike zone. Aaron Hicks made contact on 55% of balls outside of the strike zone. Anthony Rendon's Z contact percent, so contact on pitches in the strike zone, was 93%. So of the pitches he swung at in the strike zone, he made contact on 93% of them. His overall contact percent was 87%. That was good for sixth best in baseball last year. And his 5% swinging strike rate was fifth best in baseball. Those numbers show a truly disciplined hitter. And that's why it's important to kind of look at them all in context. So it's important to know how to use these numbers to target certain players, but you can also use these numbers to know who to avoid too. So I'm really going in on Eloy Jimenez, but I'm going to use him as an example for this too. So he had the eighth highest chase rate in baseball in 2020 at 41%. So he swung at pitches outside of the zone 41% of the time. And his overall contact percent was 72%. Again, Anthony Rendon's overall contact percent, 87, right? 72% overall contact rate, that's about 100th best in baseball. Jimenez also has nearly a 15% swinging strike rate. So these are just some things that point to a very undisciplined hitter. Those metrics reinforce why I don't plan on drafting him despite the hype. Tim Anderson is another player who I expect to have a down year because of a lack of discipline. He's had an astronomical BABIP the last few years. I don't think he sustains it this year. I think we're going to see a big drop off in batting average from him. And I'm finding all this information on FanGraphs, and there's different ways you can access it. You can look at the leaderboard, go to plate discipline, or you can look at an individual player's plate discipline numbers. The leaderboard is going to show you data in a given season, but if you want to see how a player's plate discipline is trending year to year, you'll want to look at that individual player's page. That info can help you decide who you do and do not want to draft. It can help you during the season. If you look at the data during the season, it can help you make decisions about, you know, dropping and adding players, who you want to trade for, all that stuff, or trade away. You want to look at plate discipline numbers and in context with, you know, the type of contact a player hits, the line drive, ground ball, fly ball metrics, the player's BABIP, ground ball to fly ball to home run rates, and everything else, right? This all kind of ties in together. So this year, a great target for you just based on plate discipline data is Trent Grisham. He's a player that shows promise as a young disciplined hitter. He makes good contact on pitches, both in and out of the strike zone. His overall contact percent is really solid as well. Beyond plate discipline, he's got good, not great contact metrics. He's a 2020 candidate on a really good team. And, you know, he's probably going to be batting some leadoff, which gives him good value to produce runs and get steals. So next week, we'll do a review of walk rate and strikeout rate to kind of continue to deepen our knowledge of sabermetrics and these other stats and you know, how we can use them for evaluation. Use these things to help you scout for your coming season, make good, smart draft decisions, and use these things to help make decisions during the season as well. So make sure you've subscribed so you're notified when these episodes publish. New episodes out every Wednesday. A reminder, I'm currently writing baseball, fantasy baseball, and baseball betting articles for thegameday.com. So check out my articles there. I have a bunch of articles coming up in March, including spring training battles, post-hype breakout candidates, a preseason waiver wire watch list, head-to-head and snake draft tips, and a daily fantasy baseball how-to article. So keep an eye out for all of those. I'll be writing about a lot of other things there too, betting, baseball betting, and things like that. So check out thegameday.com. And then also check out creativesports2, that's the number 2.com. I have a column there called Three Strikes, and I'll be posting there every Thursday. The first article went up last week, and I should have another one up tomorrow. Finally, please give the show a 5-star rating. Each high rating helps move my podcasts up on, you know, all the podcast platforms when people search for fantasy baseball. And, you know, it's something that really helps me out. So follow me also on Instagram at Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Follow me on Twitter at Fastball Pod. And feel free to email this show at fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com. I will reply. So thanks for listening.